Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Well, cover me in spray tan and catapult me onto a luxury yacht during the Cold War. We're back!
Woohoo!
It's episode 2, season 16, 2021.
Are we definitely season 16? I feel like we've regressed a few seasons. Weren't we a higher season before
that? Who knows? That's the best guess.
I think, no, you're right. We were season 15. Well done.
Well, that's just based on what we were last time. But I think, we have skipped a few seasons, but also maybe some seasons were quite short.
Hey, the most exciting part is, though, it's only been a week since the last episode. We're back to regular, guys.
Yes. Oh, my God, we are.
We've suddenly realized how important this podcast is to the world.
That and the fact that I've got nothing else going on. But yeah, it's definitely...
I was trying to make it like we were taking it seriously now.
Yeah, we do care. We do. We do, and, you know, and it's important, and we know that. And so we are going to endeavour, just to pinch the name of an awesome ship, to make everyone's life that much happier by being regular, like a good dose of prunes.
Can we have that as a t-shirt? Cryptid Factor, just like a good dose of prunes.
Yes. So many t-shirt ideas. I want these t-shirts. Last week I wanted that t-shirt of that ridiculous website name that you had, Dan.
That's right.
Yeah, the website URL. I just wanted that as a t-shirt. I mean, someone out there should be making these.
Yeah. Well, we should be.
Come on, fans.
Let's do a Redbubble.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, can we point out the fact that last week's episode, we got through the entire hour and a bit worth of podcast and didn't once mention any cryptids in one of the most famous cryptid shows that a podcast world has ever seen. And the weird thing is that none of us even really noticed that we didn't get to Crypto Buzzer. We just sort of talked for 2 hours.
We ran out of time.
We did.
And I'd like to apologize to the listeners about that. I know there's definitely a few cryptoologist enthusiasts that definitely must listen who are like, what's happened to this ridiculous show? Well, I'd like to tell you right now, this week, of course, the huge news is the thylacine fiasco, as I like to call it. So that's all coming up in Cryptid Buzz later in the show.
Woo-hoo!
We talk about these thylacine pictures that have come out, the Tasmanian tiger, if you want to call it that. Is it back? Find out later in the show. For those of you that are big enthusiasts, you already know. But those of you that might not know, this could be very interesting indeed. It's exciting news. It's exciting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know this news, so I'm excited, even by the little tease that's been given here. So I'm gonna stay tuned in.
That's awesome. We're very grateful.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's crack into the WWWN.
Weekly World Weird News. It's
crazy. It's freaky. Watch out.
Okay. So what do we got?
Well, headlines. Let's do it.
All righty.
Okay. I've got two headlines, but I need to preamble my headlines. You can have one, which is definitely news from this year.
Yep.
Or you can have a headline which has resurfaced this year, but is actually from a newspaper article from the 1980s about a story from the 1970s.
Ooh, wow. That's a triple adjust. Okay. That sounds, well, I've got to be honest with you, I mean, that sounds more intriguing. I want to see why that's come back for the third time.
Yeah, same.
I'm voting for that one.
Yeah, I vote that one too.
Okay. Shall I give you that? Okay, I'll give you that now. This is resurfaced just on a fantastic website called weirduniverse.net, where they uncover amazing stories that we've lost. The headline is Chinese children found to be reading with their armpits.
What?
Telekinesis with the armpits. So not quite telekinesis, but you know what I mean. Mind reading, armpit reading.
Not pitikinesis.
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 No. That's back. I haven't heard about that since the 70s, and then it reared its ugly, hairy head in the 80s, and now it's returned. Holy shit. This is the reason people started shaving their armpits, to stop it.
To stop it or to be able to read clearer, because all the hairs were getting in the way.
No, the hairs are like tentacles. the hairs come down and they grab the kinesis. And suck it through.
Right. Oh, so the hairs do the reading.
Yeah, they're membranes that connect. Your armpit hairs connect directly to your mind and your brain. They come right up through your shoulder muscles and then through up your throat and into your brain. Those are like little wires. That's why I keep mine at a decent length.
Very wise. Very wise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How much reading do you do through your armpits, by the way?
Well, the thing is that's why you see athletes and stuff, when they've done a roly-poly, they put their arms in the air. That's them really gaining as much pitikinesis as they can from the crowds. They want to hear what the spectators are saying and what people are yahooing. They can get it. Because they can't hear with their ears. The ears at that point become dysfunctional because they've got so much euphoria in their head. Their head's full of blood from their roly-poly. And so they hear through their pits. I thought everyone knew this.
I didn't know roly-poly was a Olympic move.
Up next from New Zealand, we've got a young guy doing the roly-poly. He's doing two small jumps and a roly-poly. Let's see how he goes.
Wow, that was amazing. Look at that. If ever I've seen it. Oh, we've got a guy here who's doing he says he's got 200. He's doing 200 roly-polies. Oh, we're going to cross live to him now. He's on a hill, and he's just jumped out of his car. He's over on the. Oh, he's done it. He's urinating. Okay, looks like he's okay. He's finished doing that, and now he's pulled his pants up and he's leapt. Oh, look at it. 20, 25, 50. Oh, he's hit a rock. Oh, he snapped in two. He won't be happy with that. And only, let's have a look. Yep, 74 roly-polies. Unfortunate.
Oh, what a shame.
I'm just glad he got to relieve himself that one last time. Sorry, oh I have diverted everyone really horrifically here in the middle of Dan's news title. So let's move on. What's your headline, Buttons?
Well, my one, I've got a space update, which I thought I'd cover off very quickly. Do you want me to give you the...
Wait. What's this? You've got quick space updates. What the hell is that? That's a different section.
Well, maybe it is.
World Weird News.
Well, okay, but this is...
Quick space updates.
Quick space updates. Okay, well, shall we save that for the quick space update section?
No, I like that. I think I know what you're talking about. You giving us some more info about the Mars landing and things like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Okay. I mean, well, there's Perseverance updates after our slaying of the coverage that we didn't watch last week of the landing of Perseverance on Mars. We've got some updates on that and a bit of an apology.
Okay.
Well, that's cool. I'm excited about that. Let's go into my one then. So my headline, more in line with, you know, Weekly World Weird News, what we're supposed to be doing. Sorry about that. But it's 80 alligator heads seized in a police raid on a house in Birmingham. 80.
Whoa.
Alligator
80.
Heads.
80. What's somebody in doing Birmingham? With 80 alligator heads in Birmingham?
I know.
Birmingham, UK?
Yeah. Let's go into it now.
Wow.
I'll go into it and then we'll go to you, Dan. So this joint investigation involved officers from the National Wildlife Crime Unit, which is such a cool crime unit, National Wildlife Crime Unit. I love that. And if I was in the crime unit business, I'd definitely go for that because I love wildlife and cracking down on anyone who is doing stuff with animals inappropriately, I think is high on my hit list. Especially in this day and age. The fact that this guy had 80 alligator heads, and I've got a picture here. You can't see that.
Oh, here we go. Whoa. Yeah, I can see those. What an awesome piece of artwork that would make on the wall.
Are they real? Those are real heads.
Yeah, those are real alligator heads.
Wow.
And so just with that comment buttons, you can see why people are interested in buying alligator. But without thinking how wrong it actually is.
It's very wrong. I wouldn't buy that artwork. But
no.
If you were something like a drug lord or a Bond villain and you needed a piece of artwork, you would have that on the wall.
Absolutely. We received information that the heads were being imported from abroad illegally and sold on through eBay to buyers all around the world at a large profit to the seller. So, most buyers would be just, buying an individual alligator head, just for their house or whatever. It's fascinating to know that in this day and age, that kind of stuff is still going on. People still think it's absolutely fine to have, animal heads and stuff in their houses, I understand, the large game hunting people, that's what they're into or whatever, but it's just morally, in my opinion, a really, really poor judgment and distasteful. The warrant was conducted under the Control of Trade of Endangered Species Act, and a 44-year-old man has been voluntarily interviewed. So he volunteered to be interviewed. He didn't even get, he said... I'll tell you what, if you're cracking down on this, you can interview me about it. Why is that? Hey, well, I'm the guy. So interview me if you want. I mean, I've got them in my house. I've got all 80 of them. All 80 of the heads are in the lounge there. So you're willing to do an interview about it? Yeah, absolutely. It's just to be on TV, will it? Yep, be on TV and on the police TV as well. Oh, great. Yeah, like the cops. Big fan. Okay. What channel is this going to be on?
It'll be on the news.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, awesome. Okay. So, yeah, my name is...
Just don't give your name just yet, mate.
Well, here's all the heads. Check them out. Look, 80 of them. Yeah, selling them for heaps. I've made a mint.
Okay. You feel okay about doing that?
Oh, yeah. Real laugh. I mean, these alligators, they were just going to kill people, weren't they?
Well, no. They're actual animals. They live their life.
Yeah, just be honest. Pretty ferocious, aren't they?
Well, not those ones. They're dead, aren't they?
Hey, look, try one on.
Please put that down. Put it back on the bed, please.
Oh, I'm an alligator.
Can you just... Look, we're not even filming yet. Just put it down. God, this guy.
And who are you selling these alligator heads to, sir?
Hey, oh, anyone who wants one? Yeah. I mean, there's the Alligator Head Club. Down in Cornwall, they're very keen. Oh, there's a bald guy called Blofeld. He lives on an island in the Caribbean.
Well, where does he get them from? Where did they say where those alligators?
No.
Where he was Maybe they had died of natural causes.
You can't tell, really, though, can you, when it's missing the rest of its body?
Well, that's the moral issue, isn't it? When things die, when animals do die, is it then okay to, you know, use the remains and display them? You know, where's the line?
It's still done, isn't it?
I always think about that when I see taxidermy.
Exactly, taxidermy, and you do walk into, in the UK particularly, gentlemen's clubs where, you know, there's a giant bear head or whatever on the wall.
Yeah, but I would argue that that stuff is really being kind of phased out now. You won't find many gentlemen's clubs. Not that I'm full of strippers. And secondly...
Not like that. Not that kind of gentleman's club.
Hi, mate. Welcome to the club. Or have I got something for you? You can either have a dance with Sherry, or you could come through here, have a glass of sherry, and look at this giant bear, which died of natural causes and is behind the Perspex glass.
Or any one of these 80 alligator heads.
Oh. Well, it's just going to be on TV, or?
Absolutely, if you want to, absolutely.
Oh, okay, well, I'll have a dance with Sherry, if you don't mind. And then perhaps a photo with one of your large hominids.
You don't get carried away, mate.
All right, let's move on.
Should we do my story?
Yeah, let's
yes,
do it.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I was sent this in by someone on Twitter who is called Comrade Sorrow. And so this is a story that in the 1970s, there were Chinese researchers that were investigating all of these reports talking about children who had an unusual ability, and that is they could read what was written on folded pieces of paper once they were placed under their armpits. So you would write something, fold the paper, put it under the armpit, and these children would be like, oh, it's a great story. And they would tell you what they just read with their armpit. So there's a newspaper article that was published in the Edmonton Journal on the 15th of February, 1980. And this is the sort of details that I'll give from it. So reports of children who can see objects hidden in boxes and identify colors with their ears, noses, armpits, and stomachs have aroused interest in extrasensory perception in China. It said a scientific meeting was recently held in Shanghai to investigate 14 unusual children who had the ability to sense colors and read single printed Chinese characters without using their eyes. The children were able to identify the color of paper hidden from them in envelopes or boxes by sniffing at the containers or by placing them under their arms or next to their ears. They also boasted a high success rate at identifying Chinese ideographs written on pieces of paper that were also concealed. The article discussed the ability of two sisters from Peking, Wang Bing and Wang Qian, to identify Chinese letters written on paper by tucking the paper under their armpits. When one sister sensed a character by armpit reading, the other had only to touch her to discover what the paper said.
Wow.
So okay. Not even armpit reading, just someone's read it with their armpit, the others touched them, and then they've passed on the knowledge.
So it works like an electric fence.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Nature magazine said the Wang sisters shared one common disability, poor eyesight. An older sister and younger brother read only with their eyes.
Wow!
Look, I can read this, but I can only do it with my eyes, I'm afraid. Will I still be able to... Yep, you come through.
So this is the story, and this was investigated in China in the 1970s, and there was it was sort of looked into by Nature magazine, which Nature in sort of the West, in the British Nature, that's quite a big deal. This is Chinese Nature magazine. I don't know what that's like, so I can't speak for how heavy the science is in it, but yeah.
Wow.
Just weird idea.
That's really cool. It's really out there.
Yeah.
Is it anything to do with the touching of the skin, or is it just pure telekinesis and the fact that they could have read that anyway?
Yes,
it's just that it was
the
process of putting it under there made them engage their telekinesis abilities because it was like an action.
What is telekinesis in when it comes to that? You can't read stuff. Is telekinesis reading through the mind of other people's mind? I thought that's what it was.
Yeah.
So it's not, you can't read a closed book.
Well, but are they reading the mind of the person who wrote it in the first place? And is that action of putting it under there just actually engaging them to read? Because I bought this wonderful book.
No. It's, I think before you rattle off on some book you were given, Buttons, I think I think it's definitely got something to do with the pit. And because this is where the energy goes. This is where, you know, they wouldn't have just go, okay, can you read this bit of paper? Yes, I can read it without looking at it. Okay, can you chuck it under your pit, please? Yep, it's under there. How do you feel about it now? Oh, I can read it quite clearly now, actually. Yeah. I don't think it's got to be something to do with the high level of energy that's connected to their upper torso and the head.
You know, there's only one thing that we can do with this information now.
Test it out.
Do a test.
Okay.
Because we're all on Zoom, we can't obviously do it with each other. We're going to have to.
I've got a piece of paper here. I'm going to write something down, and I'm going to put it under my armpit. I'm going to put it under my armpit, and I'm going to see if you guys can read what it says.
Don't think that's how it's supposed to work.
It's meant to be our armpits, but that's fine. We can
try that.
But also, I'm not going to know what is written on it either.
Oh. Right.
Right, because I'm going to change the experiment slightly and choose a piece of paper that I don't know what's written on. And
go. That's a better idea.
Okay, so let me just grab a piece of paper, find a piece of paper now.
This is very exciting. This is live science, guys. This is us creating history. If we prove this right, then this changes everything about pitakinesis. And just think about all the books that are going to be reauthored into like wee little small pitakinesis volumes.
Yes. Harry Pitter. You can have fun retitling them all.
Warren Pitts.
Warren Pitts.
I've got an old magazine and I'm going to flick through. Okay, I'm flicking through now visually for those who
don't look. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Your eyes are open.
And I'm flicking through. I'm just going to find a random page. Okay, found a random page, and I'm going to put it under the armpit. I'll put it right underneath the T-shirt, you know, to get the full.
It's gone right up there.
Right up there now.
Okay.
Now, I'm just going to have a real think about what might be on that page. And see if I can use pitakinesis to.
Do you want to do it straight away, or do you want to just let it sit there for the rest of the show?
Well, I'll have a go. I'll have a go straight away, and I'll write some words down that I think might be in there.
Okay.
And then I'll leave it on there for the rest of the show as well. And at the end, I'll have another go and see if more has soaked in.
Okay.
All right. So here's my first attempt. What could be on this page? Something's coming. Something's coming through. Something's coming through. I'm going to write down what's coming through.
He's actually getting into this. He's really, really into
it. Yeah. Eyes are closed.
I'm writing like I'm automatic writing because I'm not watching what I'm writing.
Right. Okay. Do you know all I've got in my head right now is an image of your tentacly little armpit hairs reaching out and reading the paper?
Oh, yeah.
Is it tickle? Is it ticklish?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I've read this article.
Yeah. It's an ad for roll-on deodorant.
And I'm finishing. I'm going to do a little picture too, I think, because there's going to be pictures. I'm going to do a little. Oh. I've got an image coming through. I don't know why that suddenly appeared in my head, but I've got, just a.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, I've finished that experiment. So if you want, we can. Wait till the end and check that out.
Definitely.
If you want to do that. Yeah, do you want to wait till the end? Okay, cool. All right. Now, you know what I'm hanking for? I'm holding out for some space updates.
Are you?
Yes.
Space updates. Too. Well, today is your lucky day because I have space updates.
Woohoo! Ladies and gentlemen, lucky. I'm sensing a new segment. It's now time for...
space updates, updates, updates.
As we covered off last week, none of us watched Perseverance rover landing on Mars. But as it happens, our predictions were correct. There was no live footage from another rover watching the other thing, which is kind of expected because, of course, they're not going to land this another rover in the same place as the other rover. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But outside of them doing some 3D graphics and some great, quite tense commentary about where the rover was and the 7 minutes of terror, they've now released video that has been downloaded from the rover of it landing, which is unbelievable. Have you guys seen it?
No.
Okay, I'm going to share screen.
Oh,
can you see that?
Yes.
Okay, so first of all, the video quality is just astounding.
Wow. That looks incredible, yeah.
And then, look, first of all, you get to see the parachute deploying, which, in like, cool. The video quality is incredible. And imagine this is happening on Mars.
It's on an alien planet.
It is.
Yeah.
And completely autonomous.
Look at that.
Probably what is the most exciting part, though, is when the rover starts to come and starts preparing to land. Now, for those that listened to the NASA landing audio, they started using this term called sky crane. Did either of you realize what that was?
No.
That was the lander craft coming down stopping and hovering above the surface and becoming a sky crane. And the rover was lowered by cables down to the ground. Mm. They've got all the video of that. Watch this here.
Wow. That's extraordinary.
It's incredible what they did. And so you see there.
It's like bungee jumping.
Yeah. You've got to go watch this because you suddenly realize why they're jumping around and happy.
And there's the whole – everyone in the control tower are now their arms in the air getting so much pitokinesis. Can you see? you might want to go back and have another look at that.
Let's have a look at this. Mass pitokinesis. Look at them all.
Sharing
information.
They're getting information. They're getting vibes from everyone around the world, all the thoughts of people. And that's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, well,
it?
Can I quickly jump in just to say we said that everyone was there jumping around and being happy for what was going on, but actually not everyone was there because news just came out that one of the people who's running Perseverance on the Red Planet, getting it to drill, find all the spots, couldn't be at JPL, which is where that was.
Yeah.
He's stuck in South London in a one-bedroom apartment above a hairdresser's.
No.
What, driving the rover?
His name's Sanjeev Gupta.
Yeah.
And if you walk, which I very much could because I live in South London, so he's not far from me. If I walk the high street, I can see the exact room where the Mars Perseverance rover is being directed from.
That's
by
amazing.
This one guy.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's just sitting there. He's got 5 computers. He's talking to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, who are over in California, as we just saw in the video.
Yeah.
And he's sort of directing it, but on this bizarre high street, which if you've ever been to Lewisham, is just like, you know, it's crowded, it's busy, there's London buses passing, you know, noise everywhere.
And he's driving a little rover on an alien planet.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Okay, and guys, loving all this, let's now talk about an animal that did get off the planet, I think maybe 80 years ago, the thylacine, which could be back. That's right, folks. It is now time for Cryptid Buzzo.
First time in 2021.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's Cryptid. Help me!
What happens in this section? I don't remember.
So this is all about cryptozoology. It's the point of the show.
Yeah. That's new.
Yeah. And I wanted to chat about what's really been the hot cryptid topic in the last week or so, which is these thylacines. So it sort of came to our attention through Twitter and whatnot, you know, which is great with the fans because if there's anything cryptid that's exciting, they do let us know. And sometimes before we get the chance to find out ourselves. So this bloke, Neil Waters from the Thylacine Awareness Group of Australia, He jumped on YouTube and got all the cryptozoologists and the planet excited with a video, of which I will play a little bit of now so we can have a look at it.
Me coming to you live from Northeast Tassie in some little town. Last 10 days, I've probably been acting a bit weird. That's because when I was checking the SD cards, I found some photos that were pretty damn good. I know what they are. I can tell you there's three animals. We believe that the first image is the mum. We know the second image is the baby because it's so tiny. And the third image is the dad.
So this was the initial video, and he did say in the video that he's waiting on Nick Mooney, who is the curator of vertebrae zoology at the Tasmanian Museum, to verify the images. He wasn't going to put the images up either till the 1st of March, which was yesterday. And so everyone got excited. And then, unfortunately, this came out.
Social media users around the world have been sent into a frenzy over talk of a thylacine sighting in northern Tasmania. But the Tasmanian Museum and Art Gallery's resident expert, Nick Mooney, has reviewed the photos and concluded the animals are most likely paddy melons.
Paddy melons.
What's that?
Does anyone know what they are?
They sound delicious, whatever they are.
Okay, so here's an image of what a paddy melon is. It's a little, it looks like a tiny wallaby rat type thing, marsupial, no doubt, classic Australian. I had never heard of them. So this is what he thinks they are. Very cute little paddy melons. Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of animals. I'm really into them. Did not know this one existed. How cute these things are. So that's what this Nick Mooney guy thinks that they are. So we do have the images here, and there's another video here, which I'll play this one.
And look at this. Again, we have an interesting shot. Yeah, sure, that's a paddy melon. Is it? Have another good look at it. There are some very telltale signs here that this is everything but a paddy melon. For starters, the way the tail sits as it's lifting itself up. Kangaroos use their, or macropods use their tail to counterbalance as they propel themselves off their feet. Look at these feet, by the way, too. Rather broad, rather broad. And I'm counting 1, 2, 3, and probably 4 over here. Toe pads with claws in an alignment like the rear foot of a thylacine. Another good point, too. There's those shiny hocks. Thylacines have short feet. They do not have long feet like a wallaby or a kangaroo. Their feet are short. That's why they're called hocks. Rather broad head for a paddy melon. Must be the boofiest headed paddy melon around.
Boofiest so, headed.
Like I said in my original video, the mother and the father are clearly a little bit ambiguous. They're not giving away many secrets. But why the hell would a baby thylacine, which I'm absolutely confident that this animal is, be following a paddy melon and being followed by a paddy melon? Questions do arise out of this bizarre revelation.
Now I want the T-shirt. Why the hell would a baby thylacine be followed around by two paddy melons?
That's a brilliant children's book. The thylacine and the two paddy melons. It's like, I would read that to my kids. That sounds great.
For a lot of the world, probably most of the world, some of these words are new to them. Thylacines, paddy melons, what are you talking about? It sounds fictional. It sounds fun. It's great, but it's great. Beautiful cryptozoology. That's what I love about all this, because the images are blurry, of course, and they're trying to make out what they can see from it. They're getting, you know, reports from the scientific community that it's not what they think it is, but they're insisting it is, as cryptozoologists do. So it's always us against them, and it's people trying to keep their jobs by saying, look, if I tell you that this is a, you know, a thylacine, then it is, because I'm at this high ranking at the museum. And that means that we now need to start the process of recategorizing these as critically endangered as opposed to extinct. You know, and it's a huge call to do that. I'm not willing to do that, not off this evidence that's put forth towards me, which is just these images. You know, but it is the start of something, and it keeps the myth alive, and which is what keeps Nessie alive as well, is the reports once or twice a year, something that's really close to being something that you can believe in, you know, and that's what cryptozoology is all about. And so I love this.
Do you think with this guy, so he's the president of the Thylacine Awareness Group of Australia, is it a hit to him when he releases a video like this and then it gets said not to be a thing? Or does he just get a... What I'm thinking is, like, you know, in cricket, when they think they've got a stump and everyone goes, whoa, and then the umpire shakes his head like that and they all go, oh, okay, and just get back to it. You know, like, I always wondered, did they think it was really out, or were they trying to convince the guy that it was out by all getting so excited? Is it the same in this case? Is it kind of like, oh, okay, I just get back to it then? Or is he like, no, I'm going to hang on to this footage now for the rest of my tenure as president to prove this particular footage?
Yeah, in my opinion, it is the latter. It is why you see Nessie pictures, Sasquatch pictures, continuing to have life after they're taken for many, many years. People keep bringing them up. What about this one? What about this one? And they end up on these YouTube channels where 10 best photographic evidence of this thing still existing. So that's why, you know, he hasn't just gone, oh, this is near enough, let's chuck it out there. They've gone, you know, Neil has spent a lot of time analyzing, talking to so many experts, you know, to make sure that he's got a lot of people in agreement with him before releasing this, because he doesn't want to just release something where people just laugh at it and go, no way, mate, try again, because that discredits him and his entire awareness group. And so there's been a lot of thought put into it, and I think he was probably, and he, in his initial video, he said, we'll either get the yay or the nay from this guy. And even if we get the rejection, we still believe ourselves that we go forward with it. And that's what he said after releasing these photos. And I think he must have thought, is most likely, knowing the world and the way it runs, probably going to get the naysayers overtaking the believers. But still, you pursue. That's what cryptozoologists do, and so I think it's good.
Can I quickly ask about, we happen to be paused on the shot here where there's clearly an Aladdin's genie lamp sitting in the middle of his tent.
Well, as a cryptozoologist, you always take a genie lamp with you because you get 3 wishes. And so if you don't capture what you think you're out to get, you've got a couple of wishes. The first wish is that you get to see it. And the second wish is that the photograph won't be blurry. And the third one is that your image, no matter how bad it is going to be then in the folklore and the lore of cryptozoology forever and be brought up every so many years as proof. Very, very light proof that there's a possibility.
He certainly got his wish. For context around the thylacine or the Tasmanian tiger, it's, again, one of those cryptids. For those that don't know, I'm sure most people do know about it, but it was alive, and there was an example in the Tasmanian zoo up until 1934. And then that one that was in captivity died. And at that point, they decided it was extinct. But it's interesting to say the Australian Rare Fauna Research Association has collated over 5,000 sightings of the Tasmanian tiger since 1936.
Yeah.
The fact that people are trying to prove this guy wrong and saying, no, it definitely isn't there. It's definitely not a thylacine. I mean, to be quite frank, the pictures are so blurry and so hard, you can't really tell. When he said he had pictures a week ago and said he's going to release them, I don't know about you guys, but I was expecting clear pictures of an animal that you could see the shape of an animal.
Yeah.
These pictures are definitely of an animal, but they're so blurry.
And they try to analyze, like they've done with many Sasquatch ones, where they draw around the figure and they try to show you the parts that you can't see.
And which really does help.
I think what this will do is kick off a lot more interest, and that's a good thing. And maybe there'll be a lot more cameras out there, people caring about this thing that could be possibly still alive. So the hunt, the mystery goes on. It's all good for cryptozoology. It's all good for us. And just to close on this piece, here's a little bit that he says. With all due respect, I disagree with Nick Mooney's opinion, and that's fine. That's perfectly okay. And he encourages me in his report to get as many opinions as I can, because his is only one opinion.
Brilliant. Well said, Mr. Mooney.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so hats off to him. Go, Nick, and thank you for giving us a great cryptozoological find. Not quite the closure that we wanted, but look, my only advice from this point onwards is don't go to Nick Mooney. We'll grab another guy that might say yes to these. And look, if this is a few photos, there's going to be a hell of a lot more. So very exciting to see what's going to come in the months ahead with more trail cams situated in Tasmania.
Nice.
Well very said.
Good. Yeah.
Well said.
Can I throw...
Yeah. Quickly.
Just want to throw in a quick fact about the final thylacine ever caught on camera.
Okay.
And that was in 1933. It was in Hobart Zoo, and it was a thylacine called Benjamin. And Benjamin was the last to be captured on camera and also bit the bum of the photographer who was taking his photo.
Oh, come on. That's great.
So while filming him, the cameraman was, bitten on the bottom by Benjamin, the last ever thylacine on camera.
Well, it's what they say. If you're ever going to photograph the last living species of anything, I'm warning you now, it's going to end up biting you on the ass. Okay. Well, there's only one thing left to do in this show, folks, and that is get the results from my
pentagenesis.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So here we go. Let's do that because I'm getting the bum's rush from the wife to move on and do some other projects today. So let's have a look. Okay, so I will show you what I wrote.
Okay, we can't say out loud, but we can verify independently.
So it says they...
Then came through Spinsters takeover? Spinsters?
No, it's Spanish. So I've put...
Ah.
Yeah, I've put then they came through. I've put Spanish in this takeover. For some
Spanish
reason,
takeover.
Spanish takeover. And I did a little picture of a man with a tie on.
Okay.
That is a cute man with a tie on.
And to show you, the magazine has been up there the whole time. There you go. I'm now pulling it down. Oh, it's not the best for wear. It has gone a little soggy.
Yeah, I thought as much.
Not too bad, though. Now, so the page was Fibers Optics. Fruit, veggies, whole grains, and legumes are the stuff of dietary goodness.
But there are a lot of words there, to be fair, and I'm sure that them there, they Spanish takeover will be written in there somewhere.
Yeah, I'm just having a look. Just going to have a quick scan.
Well, before you have a... Can I also point out to everybody, I don't know about anybody else's assumptions and yours, Dan, but my assumption was that you ripped off a small piece of paper and put it under up on the magazine. Reese put the entire magazine under his arm.
So oh, yeah, that might have been a bit much.
He could have been reading the entire magazine.
Yeah. That could have been a bit much.
I can almost guarantee that all of those words will be in that magazine somewhere. So we can probably confirm that it did work.
Exactly.
Out of the way.
That's what we forgot to mention, the Chinese experiment. They were carrying a Chinese dictionary under their armpits.
Oh, my God, he got it. He got it. It is in this book.
I'm just scanning through the entire magazine now. There's nothing here. There's no Spanish takeovers.
What is the magazine, out of interest?
It's the New Zealand Listener. So it's like basically a TV guide with a few articles. Okay. I tell you what, though, I just turned the next page and Putin, a Russian spy story. There he is there. And I'll put up my picture here.
Oh, my goodness. You drew Putin. That is amazing. They are almost identical.
Look at that likeness.
Oh, my God.
That is.
We should submit this evidence to Paul Mooney and get him to verify that you're a scientific experiment.
And do you know, I can see in your picture, Reese, you've made a mistake because you saw a line going down and you thought that can't be a line through someone's head. It must be a tie. But actually, in Putin's head, you've confused it. You got all the information. That line should be going through the head, not as a tie.
Yeah, because it's two Putins. It's wow. Well, I've done it, guys.
We should encourage our listeners to try this experiment at home. Particularly great lockdown experiment, right? Get somebody else in your house to write something down on a piece of paper. Try out your pitokinesis abilities. Some of you out there may be incredibly pitokinesis strong and we'll be able to use you as an example. So please do let us know how that goes.
Yeah, maybe not. Don't use a whole magazine. I think that was where I went wrong there. I think I'll spend the whole week going through that and just make sure those words are in there. But I think I definitely got the picture.
I can't believe you did the whole podcast with a magazine wedged up your arm. That must have been incredibly uncomfortable.
It's weird because as we were talking away and going on with the podcast, I kept getting these ideas for words and weird. Yeah. So I'm thinking now it might be a good use for you, Buttons, for the next podcast. If you put a couple of Encyclopedia Britannicas under your armpits, you might be quite intelligent.
Yeah,
like I think this could be a way of you sort of absorbing knowledge that you clearly don't have. Food for thought.
I'll do anything to fix my knowledge discrepancies. Is that a word? Discrepancies? Deficiencies. I need a dictionary.
You need a thesaurus up one, a dictionary up the others, and maybe sit on an atlas, and we'll see how we go from there. Okay, well, that's all we've got time for this week, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully we'll be back next week, same time, same threesome, more interesting weirdness. Let's keep it regular. Don't forget, what's our new phrase?
Like a bag of prunes.
All right, see you guys next week.
Okay,
bye everyone.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.